You're listening to the Inner Child Podcast.
With money, it's such an amplifier. It amplifies our wounds because it's so related and connected to survival. No money, no house, no food. I mean, is it true? It could be, but in general, this is what we think about. And then the other layer is that money also shows us how respected we are because we live in a society where we're all measured according to how quote unquote successful we are, how much money we have. And so I feel like money amplifies our wounds. And if we have any wounding around connection, safety, rejection, abandonment, self-worth, any of these things, it's gonna show up in money, like it will show up in your relationships. Like, I thought I had my shit sorted out until I got into a secure relationship, and OMG, poor Tommy, like the baggage came out, just because that was like years and years ago. But money does the same, and also it triggers you.
Hi, I'm Gloria Zhang, and after 10 years of struggling in toxic relationships, I attracted the love of my life by healing my inner child. This podcast is your weekly dose of my expertise as a therapist and dating relationship coach for high achievers. Learn tips to overcome low self-worth, emotional baggage, and childhood trauma so that you too can step into your power and attract the love you desire. Welcome to the Inner Child Podcast.
I'm also very caffeinated today as well.
Oh, awesome.
So that's going to add to the excitement. But anyway, welcome back, Nadine. This is part two, I think.
Yep, part two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I've been on your show as well. So to me, this feels like part five.
I think this is part three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a part. It's definitely a continuation of a conversation as usual.
Yeah. So I'm looking at you right now, and the bare, empty room that I saw a few weeks ago is now filled with life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you just moved. Where are you right now? What happened with that whole move?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. So the past 2 years have been a whirlwind. I suppose it's safe to say that since our first podcast collaboration, I believe it was on your podcast, I was preparing to move from Albuquerque to Australia, and I'm in Albuquerque right now. What happened? So much happened during the move. We were attempting to move myself, my husband, and our dog, and our furniture during a pandemic. So that was hell. Right before, like 2 or 3 days before we moved, my husband lost his sister and his father. It was traumatic, tragic, awful, but it was like a big moving vehicle that couldn't be stopped at the moment because our furniture was halfway to Australia. The house we were living in was sold and there was no turning back. My husband was like, we have to go. And I had a feeling that we shouldn't go because it was just him and his mom and he needed to be close to her. And I had this gut feeling that Albuquerque was where we were supposed to be. And I was like, okay, let's just go. And it was hell on earth, but we made it. And as soon as we hit Australia, I knew that I was right. It wasn't the right thing to do. And my husband got a really good job and my business was like going and everything was flowing. But I just had this instinct, this gut feeling of like, yeah, this is good, but this is not where we're supposed to be. And the funny thing is that I specialize in money wounds, and my pre-healing, my money wound was hoarding money, feeling unsafe to spend money, which is, I think, the opposite of everybody else in the world. Had I still been in that wound part of my life, I would have just told myself to suck it up and stay there, and I would have become this resentful person, and I would have stuffed down my intuition.
That is such a common theme, not just in our conversations, you know, or in the inner circle, but also on the podcast, which is so funny because the most recent thing I recorded was my ayahuasca thing 7 years ago, right? I'm trying to put this into words. You're describing that feeling when the external world seems to be almost perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect to the naked eye.
Yeah, but then there's that internal subjective, it's a knowing. It seems like it's not like a necessarily a feeling, but it's an inner knowing that something is not right here. Let's dig into that.
Let's
like
go.
That's the meat of it.
Yeah.
How do you understand that subtle inner knowing that there's a huge disconnect between what everyone else is saying, what it looks like on the outside, and what information I'm receiving that this isn't it?
Well, let me go back to the very beginning. I feel like my very strong connection with my intuition started as a coping mechanism. Well, if I say it's a coping mechanism and make it sound like it's negative, but this hypervigilance of being in tune with my intuition started because of my situation at home as a child. And I love my parents. They did their best, but I knew from a very small age that these two people didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And I had to, at age 5 or 6, rely on myself and rely on my intuition to protect my mom, kind of thing. So my mom started relying on my intuition. It became this thing of like, yeah, it's real. This feeling is real because mom said it's real. You know, sometimes our parents are like, be realistic. But for my mom, it's always been, oh, what do you think? She would take me on to like business meetings with her later on in my teens and let me draw in the corner and then ask me after they leave, like, what do you feel about these people?
Oh,
what's your gut saying?
That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So when everything around me feels perfect, but my insides feel like something is off, I usually make room to listen. And I have to say that over the past few years, I have maybe suppressed it like very slightly just because it's not logical. Everything's perfect. But because of our strong relationship, me and my intuition, you know, when you're like ignoring something and then it starts like metaphorically slapping you in the face to listen,
yeah.
That's what happens.
The intuitive slap in the face.
Yep.
In the ass.
In the ass. Do you have the same?
I think the experience for me is slightly different, but I know what you mean, right? Just by hearing you say it. So what was kind of going through my head as you were saying that, Nadine, is this is why trauma work is so important.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right? And I don't think I've really spoken about like the greater mission in detail on the podcast, but without going into too much detail, I think as humans, I think we really are going through some sort of awakening where we're meant to converge with consciousness or, you know, our intuition. But having trauma makes those two things look the exact same thing, right?
Absolutely.
Then you get into that conversation of, is this my intuition or is that a fear response or a trauma response? You know that, I mean, that's part of your work as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
But for me, it's when I make a decision that I know is wrong, I have this immediate gut drop that I feel inside.
Yeah, that's a very good way of describing it. It's like, shit.
Yes, and it feels like I'm getting smaller. It's almost like my energy, whatever, I've gone the other direction from who I really am. And now I'm smaller because I've made this decision that is out of alignment with who I really am. A slap would probably be more effective at getting us back into line. So I almost wish I experienced that instead.
I think for me, the slap comes after that small feeling that what you described was so perfectly descriptive of what happens. And it's so subtle that sometimes it's easy for me to ignore because I'm just like so out there. But after several times of ignoring that energy drop, the opposite of expansion of when you feel like your soul is getting shrinking.
Yes, exactly.
That's the feeling when you're like wrong way, turn back. Right. And then I get the kick ass, like, okay, Nadine,
yeah.
You really, really need to change.
Right. You really effed it up.
Yeah. Like, you
better
have to
turn
do that.
Around.
Yeah. And in the situation of like moving to Australia and feeling that was a wrong mistake, we're talking about $100,000 mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't cute. It wasn't like, oh, okay. Yeah. It was big. And let's not call it a mistake. We learned a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. That's right. Yeah. The wrong decisions are still the right decisions, right?
Yep. The end. Mm-hmm.
And so because you are a money coach right now, you've experienced the $100,000 thing. I would love the audience to hear your perspective on the higher meaning of this, because I think at face value, someone would just look at this and say, oh my gosh, you know, that's so much money, right? But you were able to relate to it in such like a transcendental way. It's the best way I can describe it. Can you tell us about that, the significance of the money?
Of course. So I believe that we all have a core wound, and I feel like we agree on this. My core wound is money. It was used to control me as a child, and I feel like we pay attention when we're in pain. And there were several things in my life that I had to pay attention to. The only way for me to pay 1,000,000% attention to the parts of me that needed healing was if the universe would give me a proverbial kick money-wise. That's where I pay attention. Some people in your situation, it would be like for your audience, it could be relationship, it could be other things. But for me, it's always been money. If money feels like, oh, then I'm like, okay, I know that the universe is communicating with me. The other thing was I used to live in Australia and I moved to America pretty much like coincidentally, and I ended up with my husband and all this. I never grieved. I never grieved my life there. I never grieved my house there. So I feel like throughout my life, I was just going on feeling like there's a missing piece of the puzzle. And going back there was very important for me to retrieve part of my soul. And when we live with parts of us that are scattered all over the globe, we're not fully present. And this is when accidents happen. When we're not in our bodies, this is when sickness happens. This is when we are out of alignment. It was very important for me to go and retrieve that part of me. And yes, I could have maybe retrieved it in a 1 week holiday, but it wasn't enough. I knew because I've been there. I've been for holidays. It had to be over a year. I had to come full circle. And also, I was in so much pain that I had to look at my most painful wound, which is looks like money wound, but it actually is a rejection and abandonment wound. And I was in the throes of it over there. Like it was middle of winter. I was freezing cold all the time because just the way the houses are built over there, they're not built for winter. And I was on the kitchen floor crying for days. And I just had one meltdown after the other. And I just couldn't see how I'm ever going to come out of it. And I did. But I wouldn't have gone through the abyss had I not been in a place where I was so much in pain.
Oh, you just took the words right out of my mouth. It's the dark night of the soul, right? That idea has been spoken about so many times. And it is true that sometimes we do have to hit that rock bottom several times even to finally experience that wake-up call. I'm getting a bit of deja vu. Maybe we've talked about this before, but the soul retrieval idea, which is also found in shamanism, which is also very closely mirrors the inner child work, right?
Yes.
A lot of my clients, I think even you included, have noticed that there's more than one inner child.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's multiple different parts.
Ages and teens.
Disconnected with. Yes, exactly. Tell us about the money, right? How does money trickle its way into the losing parts of ourselves from when we were little?
So the thing is, with money, it's such an amplifier. It amplifies our wounds because it's so related and connected to survival. No money, no house, no food. I mean, is it true? It could be, but in general, this is what we think about. And then the other layer is that money also shows us how respected we are because we live in a society where we're all measured according to how, quote unquote, successful we are, how much money we have and what's your whatever hourly, you know, in coaching world, like, oh my God, 100K month, whatever, you know. So I feel like money amplifies our wounds. And if we have any wounding around connection, safety, rejection, abandonment, self-worth, any of these things, it's going to show up in money, like it will show up in your relationships. Like, I thought I had my shit sorted out until I got into a secure relationship, and OMG, poor Tommy, like the baggage came out, just because that was like years and years ago. But money does the same. And also it triggers you.
Yeah, totally. How is your relationship now?
Oh, it's incredible. And the other thing with this crazy move is that we actually became way stronger together.
Yeah.
I guess some couples have children and they become stronger. We decided to just, you know, throw ourselves, our dog and our belonging across the universe, like across the ocean a couple of times. We're better than ever. Yeah.
Yeah, that was your baby, metaphorically.
Yep.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you.
And by the way, those of you listening who maybe haven't heard the first episode, I would definitely start with that one. I forget which number it is. We'll link it below.
Mm-hmm.
And we did receive a lot of amazing responses about the whole money wounds talk, Nadine. So that was part of why we wanted to do a part two, because it's like the surface level is the money, but as we know it, it goes so much deeper.
Way deeper.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think we had this conversation in private. Maybe it was in the inner circle, but money amplifies our stuff. And it seems like a lot of the things that people go to coaching for are amplifiers of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Relationships amplify your stuff. Health, right? Fitness, diet, all of these things, that itself is not necessarily the issue, but it's just showing us the parts of us that are missing, right? That are leading to certain types of symptoms. So that's just something that I've realized this year from talking to so many different people.
Yeah. One thing I really want to add to this is that what's out there in the industry when it comes to health, wealth, and relationships is really incomplete. That's why the work that we do, we go way deeper. Because when we look at money in mainstream, right, we look at it from like, oh, stop spending. Oh, restrict. Oh, budget. Oh, budget this. No spend Wednesdays. Oh my God. You know, like all that stuff.
Yep, canceled.
Yeah, the other side of the pendulum is the whole manifestation theme programs and coaching or whatever that focus mostly on how to earn money.
Right.
But a holistic view of your finances includes how you earn it, how you spend it, how you invest it, and how you feel about it. There's so much to do. It's not just like how you earn it or how you save it. And then all of that goes down to who's actually running the show? Your inner child,
right?
Children. Yeah. And I actually had a soul retrieval with a shaman right before we moved back here. And that was
Right. I remember you talking about it.
We were having
that
conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So first, my husband and I love watching Gaia TV. We just watch it all day long. And there was this interview on an episode on there with this shaman. And I've seen lots of interviews with shamans, but this particular shaman, there was something about him that was like, I need to get his book. I got his book and I finished it within like a day. I'm a slow reader, but that book was so good. And then because we were moving, like that was in, I think, January of this year, our move was going to be in March. And as I mentioned earlier, it was quite expensive. And we didn't have cash lying around to just like throw around, right? Everything was kind of accounted for. And I really, 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 really wanted a session with this shaman. And I went on his website and it was like 400 USD. And I was like, okay, cool. I really want it. And I looked at the calendar and he didn't have any openings until June. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll leave it. And then I was like, Tommy, if I'm meant to have a session with this person, money is just going to appear. Within 10 minutes, my mom messages me saying, your sister is owed money by these Australians and they can't send it to Jordan. So is it okay if they send it to you and it's just a present? And I said, how much is it? She goes, around $400. I was like, fuck, that's crazy.
Boom.
I know. And I went in to book a session with him in June and a session popped out for the next day out of nowhere.
Yep. Crazy. There you go.
Crazy. And the same happened with you. Like you were announcing the inner circle and I was like, I'm in it. And I message you, I'm like, I'm in it. Like, I didn't even announce it. Like, I don't care. My gut says I need to be in it. So I'm in it. Yep.
Oh gosh, I love that story so much. It's such a almost casual example too, right? Mm-hmm. The power of intention. I don't know how deep you want to go on this episode, Nadine.
Go deep.
I will go as deep as you want.
You go.
Yeah, like we've definitely had a lot of fun in the inner circle. And I remember, well, you were there literally yesterday, right? We were talking about noticing synchronicities seems to speed it up in our lives. So, you know, what Nadine described just before. So a synchronicity, the vague definition, right, is when two unrelated events occur in your life that are connected through meaning. So in this case, putting that intention out of receiving $400 and then boom, right? It just pops to your reality. And to just a random observer, it just seems like a coincidence, right? But is it really? And yesterday, remember the whole red bird thing?
Yes.
I was trying to explain to Nadine and all the other folks about what a synchronicity was. This happens to us all the time, right? Folks like us. I had this clear picture of a red bird perched on top of a fence just pop into my head. And I use that as an example of like, oh, you know, for example, if you go outside and you see a red bird. And what does the red cardinal mean to you, Nadine?
It means, you know, I get to help a new client very
soon.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, because you were like, what color is a cardinal? I said, Gloria, it's red. And the first time, because I'm not from North America, the first time I've ever seen a red cardinal was on a fence.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You saw what I was looking at in my head.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
When you really lean into this stuff, and I've been slowly trying to introduce this stuff on the podcast, like as you've noticed, that physicists come and talk about, you know, nature, reality. I want to ask your thoughts on this, Nadine. So I've noticed that people who have experienced trauma, because one of the body's defense mechanisms is to dissociate, right? And kind of come out of our bodies as a way to protect ourselves. Call it paranormal, call it serendipitous. And it seems like there is a connection between, it's almost like that veil becomes thin, right? If you are someone who was forced out of your body because of childhood trauma, right? And now you have that different kind of relationship with the physical world. That was a big loaded question, but I'm going to pass that over to you. What are your thoughts on that?
I have several thoughts. First thought is, I feel, and that's what I've seen with myself, friends, clients, that our intuition speaks to us in different ways. However, it speaks to us through our body.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I see our body as a radio or as an antenna that catches whatever is being communicated to us and digests it in a waveform that we can understand. But when we dissociate from the body, we lack or we don't have that connection with our intuition. However, when we start looking at our lives and we start looking at wanting to heal our trauma, it usually happens because of some form of awakening. Whether it's an awakening that made you want to look at your relationships, your money, whatever it is, or your health. And awakenings happen not because something earth-shattering. It just sometimes happens from a download. In 2015, you know, when I was traveling in New Orleans, I was just standing by the Mississippi River. Nothing was happening. My life was just like picture perfect. And I had this like download that was like before and after. It was so, so loud. Like, you're meant to be helping people with their trauma. What are you doing? I was like, cool.
I felt that one.
Yeah, let's talk about this after my trip, please. You know, like, this is a lot.
This is inconvenient.
This is inconvenient right now, but what happens is that we have an awakening, and that awakening in some form will guide us down that abyss. When we go down the abyss, that is when we understand that we are loved and guided and nurtured and taken care of by things, entities, energies that are unseen. Whether you like it or not, we are. You want to call it God, you want to call it the universe. We are. right? And then what Dr. Joe Dispenza says, where attention goes, energy flows. When we start paying attention to energy, start paying attention to synchronicity, we start paying attention to these amazing things that are around us, that's why they accelerate. That's why they become more, because we're paying attention to them. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, so beautifully said. Someone from the group yesterday talked about that scene from Avatar, right? Where we're all plugged into the great tree of life. And it really is that way. I'm of the same belief that our bodies, it's not quite what we think it is, right? It really is like a motherboard or receiving information. You know, even the way the brain works is, this is just scientific fact, right? Like when we look at something, that's not what's really there. That's your brain receiving information from light and literally constructing an image inside your brain of what, you know, these colors and shapes and things look like. But so it's what we see is not real, literally, right? It literally is a simulation of whatever reality is. I do agree that in thinking form, it's just incomprehensible, right? But it really does have to be experienced. Do you mind telling us about maybe one of your experiences with connection?
Before I go into that, I want to just add something, because yes, you mentioned exactly. Perception. And I want to say that our perception of reality also is impacted by our trauma. Because life is not what it is. Life is how we feel it. Life is how we digest it. And oftentimes when we have trauma, and we all have had trauma, we look at life from the lens of our beliefs, which come from our core wounds. That's why our perception and how we move in life will change once we do the work.
Yes. Yes. This is the meat of it. Probably talk for hours about this.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer your question.
Yes. Go for it.
So, oftentimes it happens, I guess, very strong information about clients, or when they're still not clients, but they're on an archetype call because I've got the money archetypes. So it's like the first time we speak and I get such crazy downloads about them, and I used to suppress them. But one time, like, I was with somebody on a Zoom call and I felt very comfortable with them. And I was like, listen, I'm going to share something with you. It's just intuitively coming to me. And I started sharing things about their dad, sharing things about their mom, sharing. And they're like, what the hell? How do you know all this? And what I found was that even though they had all this trauma and they were dissociated from their body, I was feeling their body. And through feeling their body, I was looking at the stories. Isn't that weird?
Our work is spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
To people who don't really understand.
Yeah, I finished that call spooked out about myself. The person was like, oh, no, this is great. Like, I want to work with you. Cool. But I finished. I went to the couch and I was like, what did I just do? Yeah. That was the first
time. No, exactly what you mean, girl.
That's so crazy. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let my freak flag fly.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I have a theory about that.
Yes.
And it's weird that this is going to be on the podcast, but this is also our first time kind of really talking about this, mm-hmm. right? So this was like early in the program. I showed that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's talking about human needs, you know, first starting with basic survival, like you need to be able to eat and sleep and have shelter. And then it goes up to social needs and emotional needs. And only at the very top is spiritual awakening, basically. It seems like such a deceptively simple hierarchy. But I think what our work is doing, Nadine, is you and I have worked ourselves through a significant amount of trauma, and I think we're much more able to access the consciousness. And as coaches and healers, we're basically helping people work through those bottom, it's almost like the chakra system, right? So for me, primarily, like I'm working on the relationship level, right? That safety to kind of unblock that. So for the purpose, that people can eventually
You're
get
so
to that
right,
higher
actually,
consciousness.
Yeah.
And with you, it's money.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That safety, survival, because the money actually, I have this graphic on my Instagram where inside the Maslow hierarchy of needs, I included money in the bottom tier because it's so linked to survival, like we were saying earlier. Because really, if you're in survival, you can't think about spiritual stuff. You don't have that mental capacity.
You can't get up there.
Exactly. You don't have that luxury of thought. But you're right. Like the whole reason, the whole thing about me dealing with money, to be honest, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but I help people with money just not because I want them to get rich. It's because I want them to become who they're supposed to be. I don't want their fear of money to stop them from following their desires and their sole purpose.
Right. Yes. Woof. Okay, let's put that in a gif.
With my head.
That was so good.
Yes. That is why I do what I do. That's why I freaking wake up every morning and I just go for it. Because I feel like this whole life, this whole world, our planet will heal if we all stop hating and go, like hating our jobs, hating our boss, hating, and just go with our freaking souls.
Yes, you guys should see Nadine's hands. She's going wild.
I'm like gesticulating like an Italian person. Because what's consumerism? It's true. What's consumerism? What's overspending? It's unfulfillment. It's trying to fill the freaking void.
Exactly. We're talking about something really big here, right? Like this is on an individual level, I think it manifests as different symptoms. Like, you know, a person may have depression or anxiety, whatever they develop as a way to cope with it. But you're talking about what this looks like on a collective scale. What happens if an entire country, right, is made up of people who have maybe come out of generational trauma or war and don't know how to cope with it? And now we're an entire society, right, living in survival. Like, how do you see how that fits into this big picture?
Oh my God, it just, you know, feels like not like an unrealistic image of like rainbows and butterflies and people fighting unicorns, you know, doesn't look like that. But it's more a society that is built on the pillars of kindness and taking what you need and being compensated either energetically or financially in a way that is fair for everyone. And, you know, like just being kind, really, because it's something I learned from you, Gloria, is that you don't have to be all like forceful to be gentle. Gentle is very, very strong. And how different would it be if we're compassionate with ourselves and that is reflected onto others?
I felt that so deep, right?
Yeah. And how much less internet shopping we'll be all doing because we're not unfulfilled.
Yeah.
Not that it's bad, but you know, when it's to fill a void.
Force, you know, it's not to say that we necessarily always have to be gentle all the time, but this chronic habit of hustle and force and push, I agree with you. That itself is a survival scarcity activity because why do you feel so incomplete that you have to force yourself through things, right? If you really know who you are and you trust who you are, you don't need to do that by default, right? And gentle becomes the default. So I feel you on that.
I mean, it's just like on a very small scale. I used to have the habit of like, if I'm tired, I keep pushing. And if I keep pushing, I'm not inspired. And then when I'm not inspired, I get frustrated. And then my husband comes home and I take the frustration out on him. He gets frustrated. He goes to work the next day and he takes the frustration out on other people, let's say, because that's what we do as humans. And then they take the frustration back home. Look at that little cycle.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so interesting, Nadine. Like someone asked me recently, it's like the government conspiracy to like keep people traumatized or whatever. Like, you know, like it's some like, I don't think that's what it actually is. I think it's just because there is that ripple effect of so many people in this world, right, that actually operate in trauma response. that as a whole, it looks like there's some big plan, right, to act that way. But I think it really is that individual level, right? If you look at how a company is run, it's like all the employees eventually take on the personality of the CEO, right? The person on top is really paranoid. They create this culture that just creates more anxiety. And then the next thing you know, everybody is running around like chickens with their heads cut off, right? But it's not on purpose, if that makes sense.
It's not on purpose, but it's also still a bit of a taboo in mainstream to heal your trauma and be sensitive and be compassionate, right? But like you were saying earlier, there is definitely a shift, a bigger shift into consciousness, especially after the pandemic, where we're forced to kind of like look inside. And a lot of people, you know, what do they call it? The Great Reset, but it was like, whatever it is, like everybody left their 9-to-5s and started their businesses and that stuff. So I think that would perpetuate more people that are living on purpose and living in intention. The other thing is, like, I'm very passionate with helping entrepreneurs with their money wounds, because they can spread their money wounds onto their clients through their pricing, through their payment plans, through their lack of boundaries. Because sometimes when you have an unresolved money wound, it can show up as lack of boundaries, lack of like really loose payment plans. And that's not good for you, because you become resentful as a practitioner.
Right.
And that is an energy that you're giving to your clients. And that is not conducive to healing at all.
Trauma healing is going to change the world.
Oh my God, I love trauma healing. Is that bad?
I love trauma.
It's so bad that sometimes, like, I love this topic so much that, you know, when you and your partner are watching a show and then a word comes up and they look at you, Tommy looks at me when the word trauma comes up. It's like, oh my God, they're talking about trauma. How exciting. I'm like, oh my God. That's so bad. It used to be like a band name or something. Now it's like trauma. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I can't stop laughing. So funny. Oh, I get it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It should be a band name. You have to reverse sync it. Now we'll turn it into a band.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The band.
Yeah. Big T Trauma.
Big T Trauma, yep.
Uh-oh. And then they'll have like a spinoff called Little T Trauma.
Like a really good metal band would be like Death by a Thousand Paper Cuts.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's so good. Hey, you know, I used to be a musician. We should just get together and make the band.
I'll be very happy to sing in your band. I mean, you're the singer.
Yeah.
Let's co-sing. Drama!
Have you heard of those hypnosis videos where there's like a quiet just below perception level where they
yeah it's
they
like an alpha wave or something? Yeah
Well, our band songs would have embedded hypnosis to heal your money wounds.
I love that. And childhood wounds, because it's like all from there. Yes.
That's how we're going to heal the world. It's going to be on radio.
Oh my God. We have to meet halfway. Now that I live in the Northern Hemisphere, we could do this.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And our partners are musicians too. I mean,
yes. This
is where like a band waiting to happen.
Oh my God. You know, I really could. We're all witnessing the start of a great new idea here.
I think so. Why not?
Yeah. Maybe they do that already. Maybe there are bands that do that.
Actually, Tommy, my husband, I don't know what he does with his music, but he does insert some of this stuff in his music where it's kind of regulates the nervous system when they listen to certain songs.
Awesome.
Like he puts some kind of
like the binaural beat.
Binaural beat, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
really
he's
cool.
Starting that already. I think he learned that from somewhere in Gaia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. Fun.
We're not endorsing it, by the way.
It's no, just I just
service.
Yeah,
not
I just
getting
love
paid
it.
To say it.
Oh my God, that would be fun. That's another thing we should manifest, Gloria. Become Gaia,
right? Call us. I'm just kidding, but that's really cool. What were we talking about again?
I have no idea. Trauma.
Got off track. Trauma. Oh yes, trauma. Yes. It's so interesting how you were connecting this with the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen this so much too. It really did feel like a reset, right? Where all of a sudden, most people were forced out of their regular routines. It's almost like we were snapped back to reality, right? And forced to address these bigger questions. You know, I was talking to my partner who, you know, during COVID, everything just went remote, right? And so many different companies now wanting employees to come back to the office, and people actually pushing back now and saying, everything's been working over the last 2 years. Like, why would I choose to put myself back in that toxic corporate environment again, right? I think it's so cool that we're actually opening our eyes right to the way that we live.
Yeah, and we're talking back. Talking back is important. I mean, I think you and I were talking about that yesterday because you shared something on your stories about fighting, like fighting for yourself. And I get a lot of people that are like, you know, in the love and light culture of like, oh, I'm sorry, Nadine, don't think that I'm a bad person, but I really feel anger. Feel anger. You got to feel anger. Anger is good because look at everything that happened in the world thanks to anger. I mean, I'm not talking about anger that you end up hurting people and lashing out on people. I'm talking about like, look at all the movements that happened because of anger, all the riots, all the LGBTQIA things that are happening. Like, anger is good, but on a personal level, anger is good because that's when you know that your boundaries need to be a little bit stronger.
It's a part of you.
Yeah. I don't know why we talk about anger, but yeah.
Exactly.
Talking back.
And I know what you mean, right? There's different facades that we wear as a trauma response, like the whole light and love thing. It feels safe to be in an identity where you don't have to get in touch with difficult emotions. And I think that's why it's so seductive to stay in that place.
Of course. It's bypassy, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the word. Yeah. Bypassing. Yeah. How would you describe what bypassing means from a trauma perspective?
OMG. I've got like a whole like thing about it. Bypassing, it's really a coping mechanism, right? Because sometimes you need somebody else to lead you down. I keep saying the abyss, but it is kind of like this abyss that has a light at the end of it. But some of our feelings are too much for us to take on our own, especially if they are a result of adverse situations that happened in childhood. It's just too much for you to take. So you bypass because you don't want to feel it. So what does that look like? It manifests as resentment and anger, and you lash out on people not knowing why. And it's just because you haven't sat with the painful feelings, because you got to feel them to heal them. And you got to name them to heal them too. So the whole thing with bypassing is there's that one thing of this is too painful for you to take, and I understand. But the other thing of bypassing is because people just want to make healing cool.
Ooh.
And they make it look like, just join this or tap or like say these affirmations. And no.
Follow me on TikTok.
Yeah, and then you'll heal. And that also is bypassing. I mean, I can talk about that for a very long time because it has such negative effect. Our whole thing of our health is it just affects our money. It affects everything when we're bypassing.
Right. Okay, I just made this connection to our beginning of the conversation, right? Of the bypassing being like these quick fixes, which is exactly what you are seeing in your industry, right? These Band-Aid solutions. Mm-hmm. And the words that are being put together for me is the sense that we don't have enough time to do the whole thing. That itself is a trauma response.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like, oh, I'm running out of time. I have to take this, you know, quick fix pill. I have to just bypass, right? And, you know, skip through the steps.
Yeah, it's just like avoidance of doing the actual work by just subscribing to the love and light kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is about love and light, right? Like that is ultimately mm-hmm. what it is. But you have to go through the darkness first, be at peace with it before you can actually, you can't just skip the hard stuff, right? And go straight to the love and light.
Yeah, because then it's an inauthentic light.
Exactly.
If you go through the dark first, the light you find will be your light, not somebody else's light. It will be the light that's shining from your heart. It's you.
It's the real thing. It's the real deal.
Yeah. And yes, unfortunately, we have to go through darkness.
Yeah. What you're saying to me is actually a huge thing, because I feel like society tends to go back and forth on things quite a lot, right? And right now, there's this fear towards difficulty, right? It's the fear towards hard things because we label it as bad. Like, that's dangerous, right? That's bad. But at the same time, as you've experienced through your work also, there is something necessary about going through that hardship where you don't know what's waiting on the other side. So I would love to hear your perspective on what's the difference between that and something that's maybe actually dangerous.
Oh, wow. I love this question, because I feel like the only dangerous thing we can do is when we take it on as an identity, when we somehow take on the identity of the victim. It's okay. We all do it. No shame if that rings a bell with any of the listeners. But if identifying that a part of you is identifying as a victim, but resurrecting the other part of you that's empowered, knowing that we have the power to take ourselves out of whatever it is. So it becomes like dangerous or toxic when we wallow in it, when we enjoy it, when we use it to be saved, when we enjoy our disempowerment. And I know this precisely because I used to do it. So no shame here.
Me too.
And the hard lesson that I had to learn is like, you are loved, but nobody is going to save you but you. That was the hardest lesson. The other thing is that you know what's hiding inside of your wounds, and that's not to you, that's for everyone. You know what's hiding inside your wounds? Your true essence, your life purpose. And your life purpose is not your job or your career. It is the energy and the feeling that you're supposed to generate and give into the world.
Yes. Oh, let's just meditate on that for a second, because that's going to hit home for so many people listening to this. We're going to put a little speech bubble on Spotify for this episode, and it'll say something like, you know, what does essence mean to you? And hopefully if you're listening on Spotify, you can type in your answer and we'll share it with others who are listening to the show. So thank you for that beautiful thought, Nadine.
You're welcome.
This victim mindset thing, it's such a triggering topic for people, right? Which makes it hard to talk about, because none of us are trying to invalidate the horrendous things that people have been through.
Yeah, of course.
Right? We're absolutely not excusing any of it. But I think we're talking about something deeper, which is, now that you are conscious of what happened to you, the rest is up to you, right? It really is up to you. And I think that's going to be a shift in how we look at mental health and healing, hopefully in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not emotional bypassing when we're like, oh, you're in your victim, get out of it. Absolutely not. I believe that, like I said earlier, our light is in our wound. What do they say? The antidote is in the poison.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
The light is in your wound. And I'm not poo-pooing you because you're feeling like you're in your victim. I actually want to tell you that in the alchemizing of your pain, you are going to find the most empowered version of you. Thanks to your pain, you're going to find that essence, that beauty, that like raw soul. It's inside of that. And yes, yeah, sometimes you need help navigating, because sometimes, like I was saying before, it's too painful to do it on your own. You need someone that has walked down that tunnel to tell you where to go and where to step and to shine the light while your hands are busy doing the work, you know, hold you accountable. Yeah.
100%. Yeah, we're not meant to go through life on our own, right? Like, that's the reason why we have support and mentorship and all of that.
I mean, we're human beings. We're built for connection. We're not supposed to do anything on our own, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a, I forget who said this, but it was like, the way of thinking that created the problem is not going to give you the solution.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we are stuck in our own stuff, we're so in it that we can't zoom out and look at it from another perspective. And that is where having someone else can really help you with, right? It's to kind of get you out of your own head and help you make different meaning out of what this is.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, you can't logic or think your way out of trauma. You got to feel your way out of trauma.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, because yeah. I'm not saying that people that come to me for money healing are dumb. They're all very intelligent people. They know what to do with money. They just can't do it. Why? It's because their trauma is blocking them from doing or like applying what they know in their head. And that's the same with your people, I suppose. Like, mm-hmm. they're intelligent. They know yeah. how to same like thing. Date. But yes. why? Like, there's a block. There's something that's like this barrier that's stopping their progress. And like, their past is stopping them from progressing. That is actually a very big look on what a wound is.
Exactly. So that piece of being stopped, that's one of the core tenets of Soulmate, my program. So
yeah, I love Soulmate.
Oh, thank you. Love it. Soulmate loves you. You can apply this to your setting too, Nadine, right? It's, you know, people are very intelligent. They know what to do. But when they're faced with a situation that creates a trauma response, they're not able to regulate their emotions, right? And when you're dysregulated, you cannot use your thinking part of the brain. You become a five-year-old again. And so you're right. It's not that you're not smart and not capable, but this unresolved trauma is preventing you from being in control of your own feelings and your behavior, basically.
Yeah, I think that was something that was inspired by one of the members of the Inner Circle. I created a podcast episode called Why Does Money Scare the Shit Out of You? And the whole thing was like, you're smart, you're clever, you're capable, you're ultra talented, but why can't you get the money thing right? And I basically go into like, when you are in survival mode, your brain shuts you off from your logical thinking brain because it wants you to run. It doesn't want you to think of like, oh, the bear is so nice. No, like run. And that's just the way we're built. There's nothing wrong with us. It's just when you catch yourself doing it, what does it feel in your body when you're doing an unwanted sabotaging behavior? And how can you get yourself back into regulation when you're at the supermarket, because we're talking like money here, for example, or when you're on a date, or when you're like in the heat of it? How do you become that responsible, integrated, healed parent to the inner child that's kicking and screaming and taking over the scene kind of thing?
Right. Exactly. It's so helpful looking at it from a simple perspective too, sometimes.
And you're so good at this. Like, you're so good at simplifying things. Gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, so are you, Nadine. Yeah, you're really good at that too. Being in it creates so many stories of what this is, right? And it's like, well, let's just turn that off for a minute. Like, here's a top-down perspective of what's really happening, right? Your body is basically short-circuiting because there's something that's giving you a trauma response.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much.
That's the root to all of your problems.
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah. I mean, if you were going to nutshell it, a wound is something that triggers your nervous system into a survival response. Or you call it something else in Soulmate. Oh, maybe I shouldn't give it away.
Oh, it's okay. Is it the eruptive emotions?
Yes. Oh my God.
That's so good. That's like, public knowledge, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, to me, it's like you're the sorceress behind all of that. Gloria invented all this.
No, not at all. Just a fun name.
I love Soulmate. I mean, I did it attached. I'm married and I did Soulmate. And it's so good. I highly recommend it. I love it.
Well, thank you, Nadine. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I helped you guys. Yeah. So I guess the dating stuff didn't apply to you, but I'm just curious, like for someone who's married already, what did you get out of the program?
Well, I've also been in the Inner Child Academy, so I'm like, I'm like your biggest fan. For me, what really happened from Soulmate in particular was that upon moving here, I noticed this inner toddler that if I didn't like something, because probably I was exhausted and jet lagged or whatever, I would kick and scream in a way that is very, very unlike me, very immature, I must say. But because of that, I kind of went in and did some in utero healing, which is amazing. And I was able to reach out to my husband and say, look, when so-and-so happens, this is what's happening inside of me. Because he was very confused, like, why is she going crazy pretty much? Like, I get like in a rage. So I was able to regulate myself and pretty much tell him, look, this is what happens. This is what happens in my brain. It doesn't have to make sense to you, but this is exactly what's going down. And he goes, wow, you're so aware. And I'm sorry that this is happening. What can I do? I said, look, you need to tell me that I am resourceful and strong, but you also need to tell me that you're not here to save me. Because when I go into that toddler, it's like, come on, save me. Yeah. You know, daddy.
Yeah. It's so visceral. Yeah.
Daddy, it's so visceral. It's
so visceral.
It sounds crazy. If any of the listeners hasn't gone through it, they'll be like, what's wrong with this girl? What's wrong with this 42-year-old woman? But it's so visceral and it's so painful when you're doing it. But that's my biggest win from soulmate is like,
oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that. I have no idea. Yeah, the in utero healing stuff is very trippy, right? We could do a whole other episode on this, but it's because, you know, when we're that young, sometimes we don't even have visual memories, right? Because we as adults think in terms of language, right? If I have a thought, if you think of something, it's usually in a sentence. But what happens to you back then, there was no verbal coding of it, right? So it's just all in the body. And that's what can be very trippy. But I'm very proud of you, Nadine. And it's so cool that that's how you applied it. And also that what's really important is you also have a supportive partner.
Thank God. Yeah. It came after a bad divorce and 5 years of being completely chronically painfully single. And that came like full circle to what we were talking about Australia. There is an intersection that's close to my old apartment where I used to live when I was single. And I lived there for over 5 years. And I remember my biggest pain was how single I was. And I was dating and like nothing was right for me. And I kid you not, I remember very, very vividly, like it was yesterday, crossing that intersection. And as I was crossing, I said to myself, no more bullshit, people. I am not going to accept any more crap. It's either the one or nothing. And I made that decision. 2 months later, I was married. Tommy wasn't even on the radar. I was married.
Look at that. And the full story is on the first episode.
Best
story ever.
Yeah. So I just decided it was just a decision that no more crap. And that's actually what I did again. I'm like, okay, I know that I have parts that need to be looked at and loved on, but I can't let them run the show.
Right. Yeah. You fought for yourself, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you fought for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still going to have to do the double date meetup somewhere on earth at some point. Let the boys hang out and talk about their metal stuff.
Oh my God, they could just talk about music all day and we could just not talk about trauma. Apart, we'll take a shot every time the word trauma comes up.
Yeah. While we're watching a Gaia documentary.
You'll be wasted in like 10
That's
minutes.
Funny. That's a game I want to play. That's a great game I would play for sure.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Well, Nadine, I really want this to be a 3-hour episode.
I know.
But unfortunately, we can't. But I will need to process this whole conversation afterwards because this was so good and so deep. And you've shared so many gifts to our audience just from this conversation. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share as well as where we can find you online?
Well, before I share that, I just want to say thank you for your offerings. whether it's through the podcast or your paid offers or just your presence online, because you're making such a big impact on myself, on a lot of people, on the world. And I just want to say thank you for that, because I know that your heart and soul are out there. You put your heart and soul out there. You're not just like, whatever, you know? And it shows, and you are changing lives. So first, thank you.
I accept that, Nadine. Thank you so much. And I could easily say the same thing for you. You are literally changing lives, right? From a different lens. But at the end of the day, you know, I think we are connected and we're doing the same work.
Yeah.
And thank you for being you. And thank you for sharing your gifts.
Oh, you're so, I mean, I received that too. The other thing is I just love our hangouts, and people love our energy together. We have been
nicknamed
the Glonads, which is the best.
I forgot where that came from.
I'm not sure. I think somebody mentioned it when you were on my podcast. Somebody that found me on your podcast listened to our podcast and messaged me saying, I can't get enough of this. You two have such an energy. It's like you glow together. I was like, yeah, Glonads.
Yeah. Too much.
I know. I mean, I've never had a podcast interview or episode when I'm crying from laughing. Good.
Gotta turn that into a logo. Too many band names.
Too many.
Track of them all.
Death by a thousand paper cuts.
Oh my god. Oh my face. So we're gonna take a clip of that just now. I'm gonna put it through ChatGPT and say, ChatGPT, turn this into a metal song.
Okay. Oh my god, it's so good. So where can people find me?
Yeah. Yes. Where can people find you?
I have a podcast. It's called, hang on. Okay, my podcast is called Beyond the Fear. So you can find it on wherever podcasts are played. And I generally talk about life purpose stuff, trauma healing, and money. So it's a really fun little platform. It's new as of this recording. And then I am on Instagram. My handle is Nadine Somot. That's it. Yeah. So see you on there.
Yes, go follow her on Instagram. Go check out the podcast. And we're going to put all the links in the show notes below here as well.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
What a good time.
Good time. We're looking forward to part 5, 6, 7.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
In person. Oh, we should record one in person.
Definitely. I was just about to say that. I don't know if the world's ready for that.
Oh my god, the explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so, so much, Nadine, for lending your time.
Of course, Gloria.
Your brain and your soul.
You're welcome.
For this episode, I know it's going to hit home for a lot of folks. And you're wonderful, doing great things. And can't wait to see what your new life back in your old new home is going to flourish into.
Yeah, thank you. Me too.
If you love this episode, please hit subscribe and give us a 5-star review. It really helps me a lot, so thank you. To join the community and get your daily dose of inner child tips, follow me on Instagram and social media at @bygloriazhang or visit bygloriazhang.com. If you're a high achiever or entrepreneur who wants to work with me, message me the words high achiever and I'll get in touch. Thanks, bestie. See you in the next one.